What a fellowship, what a joy divine, hang on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting. Oh, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, oh, leaning, and secure from all alarms. Yeah, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. While Sister Lillian comes, I, oh, how sweet to walk. Come, sister. This pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. On the mic, sister.
Sorry.
When the mic is off. At the top.
A lot of things happen which are like a great testimony, and a lot of times I'll be feeling like I don't think anyone will relate and I don't think anyone will understand, and I hesitate to come and give a testimony. But this time I guess God gave me a testimony that I cannot complain and say I don't think anyone can relate.
Hallelujah.
So I just want to share with God, with the saints, and just to glorify God for it. As most of you know, that I'm working as a doctor, and I know the impression that everybody gives is that when you're a doctor, you just get a job. Doctors are wanted everywhere, and there's no way, it can't be a big deal to find a job. But I think my fellow colleagues that are being doctors can relate when I say that it's a lie. I don't know who told it. And there might be places that they want doctors, but the requirements are such that, you know, when you finish and you graduate, you know, it's not I've graduated. It's like you've climbed this big mountain and then you get to the top and find a bigger one waiting for you. For you to just get to that place where you are settled and you're settled in a job and you're a doctor. That's why you find most of the settled doctors are bald, they're old, because the journey keeps going on and there's so much to do just to get to that place. So I came here to Ireland, and first I worked in Wexford for about 6 months. They used to give 2-year contracts minimum for doctors, and apparently they abolished it around 2011-2012. So believe it or not, doctors only get 6-month contracts at a time, which is very devastating, because you get the job and then 2 months into your new job you're looking for the next job, because there's also like almost an 8-week wait of work permit between that time. So I remember coming here, and I was in Wexford, and I could only come to church some of the weekends because it's a 3.5-hour drive with a bus. And then one time I was with the brothers in Brother George's house, and we were praying that I should come to Dublin so that I'll be able to come to church often. And God just honored that prayer, and I got a job here in Dublin. And I started working in one of the hospitals. Again, it was almost 4 months, and again I had to look for another place. I remember going to interviews, and I'm just, I still consider myself quite a junior doctor. because I haven't got as much experience, at least in Ireland, as everyone else who came before me. And I would go to interviews and I would find like four long lines of doctors that are bald, that have, you know, big beards, and they're older than me, obviously have a lot of experience, and we're all going for one job. And there are like four offices that are just scouting for that one job, which was, for me, it was like, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I think I should just leave this thing and look for another place, because there's so many people way more experienced than I am. I've only been here a year. So they really put the Irish experience above. So I just started looking for the next job, and I remember going to Galway, which was the nearest place at that time to Dublin. And my heart wasn't happy because I didn't want to go away again from Dublin after just working in Dublin. And I remember coming from that interview and feeling very downcast, and I texted the brothers and sisters that we're usually praying together, that can we just take a day off of fasting just to pray for whatever we need, because I feel like if I don't stay vigilant or something, I was feeling like if I don't stay vigilant, this, the devil play around with me and take me in and out. So for sure, the brothers and sisters prayed with me, and I thank God for all of them because they agreed to do this, which wasn't easy. So then when we were making prayer requests, I remember Brother George was saying we must say exactly what we want. And he's the one that said, you need to stay in Dublin. You need to get better money. You need to get a car at least, so that if you go a bit far away, you still have to drive. You need to drive to church. You need this. And he put them specifically. And I remember just keeping quiet, you know, just looking at him, because I thought, I don't think he understands what it means, saying you need to get a better job, you need to get a better environment. I'm like, all the hospitals are like this. This is the norm. So, but then I just said, let me not say anything against what he's saying. Because I remember one time, Pastor Maliko, when my sister was sick, when I tried to explain how many symptoms she had, he got to a place where he said, you should never tell me that because you pull my faith down. So I just let the brother describe everything. And in my mind, I said, I don't know. I don't think he understands how far-fetched it is. But when the time came, one time I'm coming from the hospital, then an agent called me and offered me a job that had at least almost half of what he said, which was mind-blowing for me. And I said, wow, how is that even possible?
Amen.
And and I went for the interview. And obviously the interviews usually are, you always come out unsure most of the time. And when you come out sure, you're sure, you surely didn't get it. So I just came out and I said, I don't know, I think three quarters of the way I was okay, but it felt like they're pushing me so hard in the last part, but I don't know. And I just left it, you know, and I still went to other interviews because I was like, I don't know about these guys. So when I asked for them for a response, they didn't give me a straightaway response. They just said, yeah, we liked her, but they didn't give an official offer. The agent was like, it's not safe. We don't have anything written down. So go to other interviews. And then I went to other interviews, and I went to St. Mary's Hospital, and they gave me a job there. And that's where I settled for, because these guys kept quiet the whole time, and I started the job there. Whilst I was there, 2 months in, I'm thinking I need to start again interviews for the next job for July. And when I had started, then these guys from the last year called me and said, we're very sorry, we've been silent. Are you still available? And I said, I'm not available. I'm already working. I'm bound under a 6-month contract, as you know. They said, well, we were hoping you'd be free by May, but we're willing to wait for you.
Amen.
And I said, do you realize I am not qualified? Because they told me, we want to take you as a registrar. I'm a senior house doctor. Registrar is the next level. And I said, do you realize I'm not qualified to be a registrar? I've just been in Ireland 1 year. And they're like, they said, we're away, but we liked you so much that, imagine, amen, we waited all these months and we talked about it. Everybody knows we are willing to take you and train you personally to, amen, be a registrar.
Amen.
And I said, okay. It was just mind-blowing at that time. And I just I remember telling the brothers, sisters, and for me, I just couldn't get a hold of it. Amen. It took me, till now I haven't wrapped my mind around it. Mm. And then we continued praying, and at some point, I want to thank God for Brother David's testimony.
Amen.
He came up here, and he gave his testimony about his stamp four.
Amen.
And I remember sitting there and saying, I've been taught that when the waters are stirred, you jump in. So I said, it's very far-fetched because for us, you should be here, you work here at least 4 years before you ask for stamp four. And you're not, it's not a real guarantee that you're getting it anyway. Mm. But you can only start trying after 4 years. Mm. And I remember Brother David giving his testimony. And I said, Lord, for some reason, I'm jumping in. This is I want it too, if it pleases you. And I didn't think too much of it. But when this job offer came, I went back to them and I said, let me just try. Because I was given advice that you can ask for a work permit that can give you opportunity to ask for the stamp for in the end. So I asked them, of which for me asking that after they'd already offered me something so big, I just said, let me try. And then when I asked them, they said, sure. We'll look into that. We've never done it. We're not doing these things for doctors anymore. We do it for IT professionals. But we're going to look into it if you want. And if it's not a big deal, we'll see what you can do about it. And they went away. And then they sent me a contract saying, we're still dealing with the work permit part. But since you want that work permit, we're going to give you a 2-year contract instead of a 6-month one.
Amen.
And I was really jumping up and down. And then they gave the contract, and I went through it. It wasn't bad at all. Obviously, it's a next level job that I'm not even qualified for. And I went through it, and I went through, and I compared it with all the other places. It was good, but then I considered it's a private hospital. So I don't know why I did it, but I refused to sign the contract. And I said, I need a salary review. Because I remember Brad just saying, you must get good money. So I said, since the prayer has been done, since God, you opened all these doors, I'm just going to do it anyway. It's you who did it. So, and I asked, it was like playing with fire. I knew it. But because if you knew how many colleagues of mine, we text each other, we ask, if you found the next place, what are you doing? I have colleagues that have gone back to their country because they couldn't find the next job. And they're still there. They're still trying to come back in. And they're all doctors. So then after about 2 weeks of silence, they called me and said, okay, we've reviewed your salary and we're increasing it. And by the way, we know you hadn't signed your contract, but we already applied for that work permit that you wanted and you have been granted.
Amen. Amen.
So praise God.
Amen.
And they said, can you tell Lillian that if she could please take us seriously, that we really like her, that we would like for her to stay with us, although we have given a 2-year contract, we're looking for her to stay 3 years or even stay permanently.
Amen.
We're offering her a pension pack, and we're offering her to pay for all the exams that she wants to advance her career until she gets to the consultant. So she doesn't have to pay for any of the exams that she sits for. She just notifies us, and then we will pay every bill to write the exam to get to the consultant level.
Amen.
On all the years she's with
Amen.
Us. So I just want to thank God.
Amen.
And then the agent was like, I've never actually had to offer a doctor this package. This package, they're not there anymore. I don't know how you're getting it, but we just want, it's just amazing. Mm. And you just came here. I have colleagues 5 years here in Ireland. They have actually qualified to be registrars, but they can't get a job as a registrar.
Amen.
They keep getting senior house officer. I'm not even qualified. I've only been here 1 year, and then I get this offer. There's no way I can say it was anything but God. So I just
Hallelujah.
Want to thank God because after the agent explained to me, when you get this work permit, do you know you're getting straight away a stamp for? You can't even apply for any other thing.
Mm.
So there's Brother David's testimony, and I think that for me also, I'm just looking forward to after this, I'm getting a straight to stand for. And I want to thank God for that.
Amen.
God bless you. I was going to sing a song that came when I was experiencing all of this, but I just didn't want to take too much time. But God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. We love the Sunday school. Sunday school. It's interesting what the sister said. If we had time, we'd look at the specifics, because we were saying when we pray for things, we need to put detail. To put detail of what we want. Because when I remember the sister was in Galway and I rang her. I said, "Away," she says, "I'm in Galway." I said, "What are you doing there for need?" I said, "But you can't go work in Galway." See, so we have to be specific with God. And when we put specifics of everything, all those requests, how nice it is when God answers, because you think, wow, so God actually cares for me. He listens to me. He's a wonderful God. Amen.
Oh Lord, we are your people, chosen by your grace. You took us from the heathens to be a super race, and as the children of the great King of Kings, we have our reason to shout and sing. You've given us joy, joy. You've given us joy, joy, joy. If you should mark iniquity, which of us could stand? How can Amen. We get you this life without your guiding hand? So Lord, we ask you, forgive our failures and deliver us from all temptation. And make us strong, strong, strong.
And make us strong.
And make us strong, strong, strong. We know we're not deserving of all your graciousness. We know we fail you daily and sometimes misbehave. But Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. Yes, Lord, we need you. We believe you.
Amen.
Will help us overcome.
Help us overcome.
Will help us overcome. Oh yes, you have redeemed us by your precious blood. Your power brought deliverance. Satan came in like a flood. And Lord, receive you.
Last item, that was the only item, Rahul. Okay. Let's sing that song. While the sisters come, I'm gonna stay right. Oh, I'm gonna stay. gonna stay. I'm gonna stay right under His blood, where the devil can't do me harm.
God bless you.
Amen.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. Bad things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley when things go wrong. He make them right, and the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. Amen. The God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptation, that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley when things go wrong. He make them right, and the God of the good times is the God in the bad times. The God of the day is the God in the night. For the God on the mountain is the God in the valley.
Amen.
When things go wrong, He make them right, and the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
Amen. My boat of life sails the troubled seas. Whenever there's a wind in my sea, hallelujah. Oh, that I am afraid
over me. When the breeze turns into, oh, I know the master of the way. I know my blessed Jesus. I know the maker of the maker of the rain. He can calm a storm and make the sun shine again. I know. Sometimes I'm so like an acre to the heights above the peaks, my soul can be found. But unexpected storm may drive me from the heights, brings me low, but never brings. Oh, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know the maker of the, oh, he can calm a storm and make the sun to shine again. Master of the, I know the master of the winds. I know my blessed Redeemer. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm a storm and make the sun. I know the master of the wind. Who I know, I know. I know the master of,
because you have chosen. Hallelujah.
Oh, because you have chosen narrow path, the hardest way, there's a great portion of heaven, oh, he's waiting for you, because of what you decided, oh, that was a prophecy. That was a prophecy, was a prophecy. The angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce the great victory in the love divine. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. There's many trials, many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. Oh, there there is not much time remaining. There is not much time remaining. Oh, to hold in this spot. We can already hear the chariots of our beloved one coming to meet us. This path, I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in. Oh. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, the desire that divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me.
Let's pray. Father, that's our desire. Lord, as we gather in this place upon this day, just to enter to that realm of perfect love. Father, that you would govern and that you would guide and that you would lead. That, Father, your will would be done. Father, that you would glorify your name upon this day, that you'd be glorified in your people. May you bless your people upon this day. Thank you for every testimony, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. Thank you that you are able and more than willing to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, Lord. Thank you for worship. Thank you for items that have been sung. Thank you for people that have expressed themselves before thee, Lord. Now, Father, help us in your word. Bless us, Lord, as you open up the Holy Scriptures, Lord. As we meditate upon your word, we know that it's only through your word that eternal life comes, Lord. So speak unto us, Lord. Father, let thine unction be in your word. Speak unto souls. Father, reveal yourself the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be glorified, Lord. Bless your people, we pray, upon this day. Gather to the north, south, east, and west, Lord. Father, we do pray for them that aren't here with us this day. Watch over them, bless them, and keep them, Lord. Them that have traveled, them that are, Father, doing this and that, we commit them into thine hands, Lord. Bless your people this day, we pray. Father, we're looking to you now. Father, we're relying upon you, Lord, coming under your blood, coming under the token upon this day, Father, coming under the rich and royal blood of the Lamb, to pray that you'd wash away every guilty spot and every stain, Lord, and all of humanity, Lord, that, Father, each of us may enter into that realm of eternity inside of our souls upon this day. That as we'd come to the end, we'd say, surely it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, it would go from this place and it would never be the same. Praying for the visitors in our gates, Lord, let this be that day that, Father, you've always known that would be. That, Lord, they may know you, we pray. Father, it's your work for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, saints. God bless you this morning, saints. We do greet you. Be seated, please. 1 second. Just got some announcements here. Let's be seated. We do greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So wonderful to be serving the Lord. Just a few announcements here for things that are coming up, which it's good for us to really keep on top of before the saints. Firstly, next weekend, I'm going to be away with some of the saints. I'm going to be in Poland taking services for the saints just outside of Warsaw. So really praying for asking for your prayers there. That'll be from Friday up to Sunday. So I'm going with Brother Greg. He's going back to his homeland. I'm going with Brother Vlad, and I'm going with Brother Wilmore. So please pray for us for that. So Brother Lubanz has very kindly offered to take the services next weekend. So Brother Lubanz is going to take both the Friday and the Sunday service next weekend. So I think that'll be a real blessing. Please be in prayer for that and really support that, we ask. So that's next weekend, the 15th up to the 17th. The following weekend then, in fact, for the full week from the 21st up to the 28th, we've got Brother Alexi Makuna coming from Brother Musaka's church in Paris. He's Brother Lubanza's good friend. He's a minister, so he's going to minister for us as well. So that's the following weekend. So next weekend, Brother Lubanza will be ministering. So the following weekend, Brother Alexi Makuna will be ministering for us. So we look forward to that. And then just to keep it going, the following weekend, we'll have Brother Nanda from Mauritius. So we're really looking forward to that as well. So that should be a real blessing. Brother Nanda's applied for his visa. God bless you, brother. Nice to see you again. He's applied for his visa. So by the grace of God, he should be with us on that weekend, 6th, 7th, 8th of May, the first weekend May. So that would be a real fine thing, I really do believe. Also spoke to Brother Max yesterday. He was sending greetings. He was asking for prayer. He's ministering in Italy today. He was asking the saints really just to keep him in prayer and was sending greetings. I see the sisters back. God bless you, sister. And also he was saying a brother Max Jr. has teamed up with a brother there in the Netherlands, and they've gone out testifying, and they had one good success so far. So really keep them in prayer. I know the saints, we've been discussing as well about evangelism here, preparing tracts and different things. Had a meeting on Wednesday speaking about our website with our good precious brother who does our website. And we're really trying to get it a far more effective tool that when you give out tracts or you speak to people, you tell them who you are and what you believe, that the website will be a real, real good place to go to understand the message of the hour, the lateness of the hour, the time that we're living in. So really asking the saints to pray for these things. Because of these special meetings coming up, we know Brother Max is still away. He'll let us know this week when he's coming back. But on Wednesday, this week and the following Wednesday, really want to have real prayer meeting on Wednesday. So inviting the saints, please, to support this Wednesday and the following Wednesday. Let's really put these things in prayer. Because, you know, the real blessing comes when you really commit issues to the Lord in prayer. When you seek his face, when you seek his favor, when you bring intercession before his throne, we know that he really, really does respond. So we can really have a blessed time in the next few weeks. We just want to seek the Lord's grace and favor to take full advantage of what the Lord wants to do for us. He's always willing, but sometimes we're not ready. He's always willing, but he wants us to be in a certain spiritual condition. So please come. Prayer meeting on Wednesday. You know, prayer meetings start earlier, 6:30 on Wednesdays. Please come and support. Let's really seek the Lord's blessing upon these weekends. We also, during our meeting on Wednesday with the trustees and musicians, we spoke about worship at the end of service, the way that we used to have it. You know, at the moment we have got into a system, maybe moving church and different things, that we do finish the worship very quickly at the end of service. But we never used to do that. And then you find out it gives an opportunity for us to chat and talk in the house of the Lord, which you don't really want. So we've really asked the musicians once again to get back into the system at the end of service, just to keep worshiping as long as people want to worship. If you want to, we dismiss in prayer. If you want to go, please God quietly. But you want to continue in worship. If you want to pray, if you want to continue on, and the musicians will continue playing so that there's, you know, continuation. I love it at the end of service to come and sit in the presence of the Lord and really let the Lord really bathe down upon the word that's been preached. It's very beneficial to continue in that atmosphere rather than quickly going out and getting caught speaking of other things, and birds of the air can come and take away the seed that's been sown. So just really wanted to ask the saints to respect that, to respect the sanctuary, that after the service, you know, no general chat, no general conversation in here. And we've asked the deacons, the policemen, to be on full duty on that one there, just to make sure. I know that we as human beings need reminding once in a while. Sometimes we need a gentle tap on the shoulder. Sometimes we need more than that. But we just really desire once again at the end of service to get it back to what it used to be. So please support that as well. So let's really be in prayer about these things. You know, I really do appreciate the Lord. He's good. You know, I was thinking of Brother Max going away to Italy, and it's not easy, you know, working and then doing all the services and so forth. But then I really saw, you know, you don't manufacture things in the kingdom of God. The Lord has everything under control. And when Brother Eli came and spoke about Brother Alexi coming, and then Brother Lubanza, I spoke to him yesterday, I went and said to Gitana, I said, no, the Lord is really mindful. He provides things ahead of time. So we really do appreciate it. And friends, I really do believe he's provided for us thus far, And he'll continue his work to the end. As long as we continue to respect him, to worship him, to walk with him, he's got it all under control. And we pray that he'll do the same today. So let's stand. May God bless you for that. Let's open up the book of Joshua, chapter 6, from verse 23. Joshua chapter 6, from verse 23 up to 25, just to get a thought from there today. It says, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, and her father and her mother and her brethren, all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein. Only the silver and gold and vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Let's also read Matthew chapter 1, just to continue the story in one verse, in two verses. Matthew 1, 5 and 6. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And we know Solomon types the millennium. Let's pray once again. Father, your word, it's always blessed and it's always anointed as long as our hearts are fertile and are prepared ground. So help us now, Father, cast off anything else at this time, that, Lord, we may concentrate on you. Set our souls, Lord, upon you. Father, help us, every single one of us, Lord. And bless your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated. Saints, we want to have a look at this issue of the two unions, especially looking at Rahab. Now, Rahab is a real type of the believer. We know that. The prophet tells us, and as I was with Moses, he says, Rahab the harlot, she was known as a harlot. She was a type of the believer today, a real believer. And that's really a powerful thing, because you can think of what the grace of God can do. How God can take someone like Rahab, someone so defiled, someone living such a filthy life. You know, somebody living that kind of life. Imagine being a harlot, selling yourself. It's not a nice sort of a lifestyle that somebody wants to live. What a defilement that it is. You know, and how the word of God so much condemns harlotry and immorality and those kind of things. But the most powerful thing about God's grace is that God's seed is found in the most unlikely of places. Amen. Now, that's why never judge anything by the outward appearance. Amen. And don't be too quick to judge somebody. I liked what Brother Ubanza said, that we can never judge someone unless you've given them a chance. Amen. Never judge somebody or condemn somebody unless you've given them the same opportunity that you had. Amen. Because many of those people we judge and condemn, we were worse than them before the truth came to us. So we don't really have grounds to do that. And if you had have looked at Rahab before she came into the fullness of what God ordained her to be, you would really have looked down on her, and rightly so. I mean, I wouldn't want someone like that living in my neighborhood, especially as your children would get a little bit older and so forth. You wouldn't want somebody like that. But that wasn't the full story with Rahab. But the Bible always calls her a harlot. No, and there's something about it. Never forget where God took you from. You know, the Lord may have changed you from your harlotry, changed you from your sinful ways, but never forget, the Lord says, that pit that he hewed you from. Amen. Never forget what you were. It's quite an easy thing to do. And we start looking down on people that are doing things that we did a lot worse in the days of our youth. But sometimes we forget what the grace of God has done for us and what the grace of God has done for us. So Rahab, what brought about this change in her? Now, this thought, I was really just thinking about this mystery of the new birth. Amen. Because people always ask about that, the new birth. Amen. Because, you know, the new birth is such an important thing, because Jesus told us absolutely. He said, verily, verily, unless a man is born again, Amen. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Amen. It's absolutely impossible for someone who's not born again to enter the kingdom of God. Amen. And there's all the theories of the new birth, and you ask 10 different people in this religious age that we're in, and you get 10 different answers. But we're glad we've got a message.
Amen.
And we're glad that God sent a prophet to restore, to turn the hearts back once again, and to bring us back the real understanding of things. Because in order to approach the things of God, you've got to know what you're approaching.
Yes, yes.
How can you approach God for something if you don't know what it is? And how do you know that you've got it, the prophet says, unless you know what it brings when you get it. So you've got to know what you're looking for, and you've got to know how these things come about.
Amen.
And as with anything in the kingdom of God, the new birth, it's grace.
Yes.
It's grace. It's not by power. It's
Amen.
Not by might.
Yes.
It's by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
This is a work of God's grace. The new birth is a work of predestination.
Amen.
Not everyone can be born again.
Amen.
That's a sobering thing to say. Not
yes.
everybody can be born again.
Amen.
It's only the predestinated that can be counted in the plan of redemption.
Amen.
That's the thing. It's only God's sons and his daughters that can be brought back.
Yeah.
It's only those who can be redeemed. Redemption is to bring something back. So if God didn't lose something, he's not going to be able to redeem it and bring it back. But that which God has lost, that which came from God, redemption will bring it back to God. And that's why you'll really see from the beginning of this great plan of redemption, it's not your human effort. You've got to put your effort into it. There's times you've got to put your effort. There's times you've got to wrestle and agonize in prayer. Times you've got to fast and pray to subdue other kingdoms and dimensions that are trying to hold you back from the purpose that God called you for.
Amen.
There's times you've got to wrestle and strive. Yes, there's times you've got to seek, you've got to ask, you've got to knock. We know all those things. But when all is said and done, it's God's grace.
Amen.
Redemption is God's grace. Salvation is of the Lord, the Bible says. It's not your power. It's not because you are better than somebody else. It's not your willpower. The moment you think it's like that, God puts you in situations to show you that your willpower doesn't last very long.
Amen.
That your good intentions and the resolutions that you make to say, I'm going to stop drinking, I'm not going to smoke anymore, I'm not going to run after women anymore. That's good. That's a good desire inside of yourself, but you need more than good desire.
Amen.
In order to overcome what you were and what you are from your first and your natural birth, you're going to need a lot more than just good intentions.
Amen.
You're going to need the grace of God.
Amen.
You're going to need the power of the new birth.
Amen.
God's going to have to do something for you.
Amen.
Just as much as God had to do something for Rahab to change her from being a harlot
Amen.
And to bring her now into a union so she could bring forth Boaz, who was the kinsman redeemer in his day.
Amen.
And then from Boaz came Jesse, came David, came Solomon, which types the age of the millennium. So she brought forth something in her day that ushered in the millennium.
Amen.
Came all the way to the ushering in of the millennium in type, because she's a type of the believer. That's how the prophet says she's a type of the real believer. Now Rahab, she had a predestined womb. But her womb wasn't predestined for so much of the seed that it received in the days of her harlotry. She was with so many men. She received so many different kinds of seed. But the most powerful thing about Rahab is she never conceived
Amen.
Until she met Salmon.
Amen.
That's a powerful thought.
Amen.
Imagine how much seed she received in those years of her harlotry from Babylonians, from Canaanites. It's the same as us in our spiritual womb.
Amen.
We received Babylonian seed, Trinitarianism. We were taught all of this false doctrine, all of the things that we were taught. In the different systems that you were in, but we never conceived.
Amen.
Our wombs, spiritually speaking, were completely held shut
Amen.
Until a certain appointed time. Exactly the same as with Rahab. Because you go and read, it was her father and her mother. That says nothing about children. She never had any children. I find that such a powerful thing. That God can do something inside of you. He can hold something back inside of you until an appointed time.
Amen.
That you won't even know that something is inside of there. But God has ordained something. You to bring forth something.
Amen.
But the only way this can be brought forth, He is the instigator of this. He has His appointed time. He has His appointed place. He has His appointed way. And that starts a process inside of you that brings forth Christ in your age. That brings forth whatever you ordain to bring forth. The mystery of redemption that God has for you. So Rahab, how did it all start? At first she heard about God. She heard from afar. She knew there was a God. She heard about what he had done at the Red Sea. She heard about his judgments in the land. And her heart was troubled. But that didn't bring her redemption. That was good. There's many, many people know we're living in the end time. Many people know this world is falling apart. People can see it can't continue on the way that it's going. There's an uneasiness in the souls of people. But that's not sufficient in itself to change you. You can't change people with fear. Fear doesn't change people. You can't threaten people and expect that they're going to get born again. It doesn't work like that. It's the love of God. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the thing that makes the difference. Now we can try to warn people, scold people, tell people, do all these kinds of things. And they can stop doing certain things for a season. But the natural man is the natural man. And the natural man has his natural desires that he was born with. And if he doesn't have his desires for a while, he starts to get withdrawal symptoms. And as a natural person, you don't have power to overcome the natural man. That's how you'll know somebody living in Africa, if sleeping around, you're going to get AIDS. They know they're going to get AIDS, but they can't stop themselves. You know, a person knows smoking cigarettes, getting in, smoking all these other things, it's going to give you lung cancer. It's going to destroy your health. But a person, they'll try to stop. How many times do you see someone taking those cigarettes and throwing them in the bin and saying, I'm never going to smoke again. And then, like the prophet says, 2-3 days later, the person's going looking, where did I leave my, where did I throw the, because it's not by power. The Bible says that, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? You can't change yourself. The prophet says the more the leopard tries to lick off his spots, the brighter they become. And that's the real truth. You can't change yourself. And the more you provoke the natural man to try to stop him doing the things that he naturally desires to do, the more he starts asserting himself to take control, because he says, hey, you're holding me back from my rights. You're holding me back from the very things that I was born to express. And the things that I was born to do. So you can see right from the beginning, it's not religion. Religion is the enemy of spirituality. Religion is a covering, but it doesn't change the source. It doesn't change the root. It doesn't get down to the real root cause of the problem, which is your birth. That you were born the wrong birth. Your first birth condemns you. Being man born of woman is condemned from when you're born. That's the truth. Amen. And there's no way a man just born once, born of a woman, can enter the kingdom of God. You can't. Because you're born polluted. You're like Rahab in a harlot condition. You'll naturally give yourself over to all manner of things. That's how the prophet says, no matter how well you bring up your children, when they get to that certain age, if they're not born again, when they hear that rock and roll music, their little spirit responds to it as sure as the world. Because they were born in that condition. I like what Brother Tommy said that weekend. He says, that's why the greatest thing you want to do and pray for your children is for them to meet Jesus. So they can love him the way you love him. Because why do we read the Bible? Because we love him. Why do we come to church? Because we love him. Why do we pray? Because we love him. Why do we separate ourselves from the things of the world? Because we love him. But we're expecting people to do the things we do, but they don't love him. It's the love that we have for him that makes us live the lives that we do. So the most important thing that we could do is seek an atmosphere and do whatever we can to bring him, to reveal himself to the souls of our children, to the souls of young, so they can love him as well. Because that's all that's going to be the starting point. It's not going to be just by our power or by our might. So she heard and she feared and her heart was troubled. But the new birth for Rahab to be changed from a harlotry, what was the very thing that brought about the change? Was when God predestinated her path to meet the message of the hour. When she met those two young men from under the Joshua Commission. Joshua is Christ in your age. And the moment that her path crossed the paths of those young men, something started to change. Something came to life in her that never had come to life before. Because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's when he reveals himself to you in your age. When you when he comes to you personally now and reveals he's the same. Not what he was to your fathers, not what he was in generations gone by, but when he comes personally to you and reveals himself personally to you, that's the determining factor. That's what's going to bring about the difference. Something's going to start to change. Like the woman at the well. She was an immoral woman. She had all these husbands, and now she's living with a man that's not even her husband. She's given up on the very idea of marriage. She doesn't see the merit in marriage. Because she's got a hunger and a thirst inside of her for something, and she thinks it's going to be men that are going to satisfy that hunger and that thirst. Then she marries the first man, and he's got his own faults. He's got his own failings. He can't minister to that deep that's inside of her. So she gets rid of him and goes and tries to marry somebody else. And by the time she's married all of these men, she realizes, what's the point of getting married? I may as well live with somebody. Until she met Jesus. Amen. Then when she met Jesus, she had had five husbands. Her sixth one she was living with wasn't even her husband. Then she met the seventh one. And when she met the seventh one, she stopped looking. She found the very thing that her soul had been thirsting for. All the days of her searching through all the different realms of the types of men and their characters and their temperaments, she found the thing that she needed to find. And then she stopped looking. Then she didn't live that kind of a life anymore. She went against custom. She left her water pot. She ran into the city. She was an immoral woman. Friends, that's what makes all the difference. It's the grace of God. And you and I cannot determine who God's going to visit and when he's going to visit them. The only thing we can do is try to create an atmosphere through prayer and through worship to say, oh Lord, you know your sheep. You know your sons. You know your daughters. You know the prodigal son who's here today, who's left the father's home and has gone out there and has defiled himself feeding the swine. You know where he is. But it takes God to speak to the soul of someone to bring them to themselves. You cannot bring yourself back to yourself. That young man, the prodigal, he was in insanity. He wasn't himself. And that's what sin does to a person. You poison your body. You take nicotine into yourself. You take alcohol. Imagine alcohol, which is something which you can clean things with. It's something which you can use as a fuel. It's a serious thing, alcohol. And you take that and you dilute it and you put it inside of your body. And it gradually destroys you. Ah, friends, the things that we do before we're born again. It's insanity. Well, expose ourselves. You see girls going out on a cold winter's night, showing off all the nakedness of their flesh. And you look and say, that's not natural. You'll see somebody with green hair, pink hair, orange hair. You see people walking like it on the street. We're not condemning the people, but it's insanity. Because sin leads a person into the realm of insanity. You'll do things that are leading you to destruction. And you'll just keep on doing them. And people be warning you, saying, stop, what are you doing? But it's like you put your fingers in your ears. It's an insanity. That's why the Bible says about the prodigal son that when he came to himself, he went down from somewhere, down, down, down. In his rebellion, in his stubbornness, in his self-will, in making his own decisions. In not hearkening to the voice of his father. He went down, down, down until he could go no further down. Because for a Jew to be feeding pigs, it was the worst thing that you could imagine. And this young man, he's tattered. He's dirty. He's not thinking right. He's looking at the pig food and saying, ah, if only someone would give me this kind of a food. But think where he came from. He didn't come from there. He never originated from there. He had a father's house. He had a father's house in which there was bread enough and to spare. That even the servants had bread enough and to spare. And that's what predestination is. He was always a son. He was always a son. Even when he was down with the pigs, he was a son. And the sons, every single son, that's what that parable is showing us. In due season, grace is going to catch up with them wheresoever they are. Something's going to speak to them. The supernatural's going to speak to their soul. And they're going to start coming back to themselves. And then he said to himself, I will arise.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
And the next verse says, and he arose. Amen. That's all he had to do. And I will go to my father. And I will say to my father, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Take me as your servant. But the father had none of it. The father wouldn't look to the, listen to him about that talk of being a servant and so forth. The moment that he came back in his degradation, his defilement, the condition that he was in, what did his father say? Bring the fatted calf. Put the shoes on his feet. Put the ring on his finger. Because this is my son. My son who was lost is now found. My son who was dead is now alive. Our friends, we're dead in sin and trespasses before we're born again. We're separated from God. We're separated from the mind of God. What his thoughts concerning us. We don't understand God. We don't know his purpose. We don't know our purpose on earth. Our friends, what a sad condition to be in. If it wasn't for the new birth, where would we be? Man was cut off. God had to make a way back for every one of his sons and daughters. And that's the way of grace. That's the way of redemption. So that's the same as with Rahab. When the truth strikes her, something strikes her path, something which has never before awakened inside of her wakens up. And now she realizes there's a possibility. There's hope. It doesn't have to be like that. This doesn't have to be my end. I don't have to keep following this path. Something opens up to her. Not only does it open up, but there's a willingness rises up inside of her. There's something that's attracted to that path. Something that's attracted to that kingdom. Something that's attracted to that God. Something that wants to know him, wants to experience him, wants to really live life the way that life is supposed to be lived, according to the divine will of God. Then what did she do about that? The only thing Rahab did, she responded. What can we do about it when he comes to us? We just have to respond. That's all we can do concerning the new birth, is respond. When he comes your way, when he speaks to your soul, when he says, turn around. When he says, arise, it's your time to arise. When he says, you will perish if you stay like this. Just rise up. When he says, go back to your father. Go and repent to your father. Just rise up and repent. Just say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Take me as your servant and see the response that comes from heaven. Our friends, because God is looking for his children. And every one of the seed, every one of his children is going to be born again. He's going to find them. It doesn't matter where they are. But the most powerful thing about this new birth, he gives the devil a big head start. He says to the devil, no problem. Take her for 20 years. Do what you want. And somebody will do the most things that you cannot even. If somebody comes and hears your testimony, the ears will burn. The ears will tingle. I've heard things that I never would have believed believers could get involved in. But friends, after a while you stop getting shocked. You just say, yeah, the devil can make us do things, you know, extreme things. And friends, we can do things like that. And the Lord gives the devil this long head start. And the devil so confuses you with religion, so defiles you with immorality, fills you up with science and knowledge and man's understanding, evolution, all of these kind of things. And the devil says, yeah, there's no hope. But if the truth be told, like Brother Lubanza preached that weekend, the devil's done nothing to you. He hasn't touched you, the real you. He hasn't touched the real you. He hasn't touched your soul. He hasn't. And then you know how the Lord does it. He says, okay, Satan, like we saw on Friday, when it's a time for the victory, it's my turn. You know what God does? He just reveals himself. And when he reveals himself, all that Satan has taken all those years to do, that simple revelation of Jesus Christ undoes all that the devil did. Huh, friends, it's a powerful plan. You'd think the devil would give up after a while. Now, they think the devil would get wise enough to know that he's not going to win, but he doesn't, because it's the mystery of redemption. He doesn't know where the seed is. He doesn't know where that soul that's predestinated is. is living within. And that's why he tries whenever he can. Try to shorten people's lives. Tries to get you involved in all these kind of things. And that's what he did with Rahab. And he must have looked at Rahab and says, ha ha, I've got her. But God had another plan. God had another thought towards her. And all that it needed was for the light to strike the seed. That's all that it needed. All God had to do was bring the power of the Joshua Commission, that Exodus move in that age. Just let it cross her path and let those two young men come. And things started to turn around. And all of a sudden, something started to work inside of her that when you see the end of it, you'll say, this is amazing grace. This is really, really amazing grace. So she hears and she fears, and then she hears the truth. But now, it wasn't quite enough yet. It's a process now. She's heard the truth. The seed inside of her, her soul, has started to come to life. But look in Joshua chapter 6, verse 23. It says, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. You see, she was defiled. She couldn't just come in like that. She couldn't just come and marry Salmon and bring forth Boaz like that. She had to go through a process. In order for someone to join Church Israel in those days, they had to become a proselyte. And there was a process. They had to come and repent of the idolatry. They were baptized. They were taken into a pool of water up to their neck. And somebody, their sponsor, the person who had like witnessed to them, would read the Ten Commandments to them, and they would repent of the idolatry. They'd repent of the things that they had done. And then after this process of purification, now you find that in the camp of Israel. And you'll find that in verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. So that's how it came. So you need to be cleansed from your defilement. You need to be sanctified from the things that you've done. And that's the process of God's grace once again. He washes you in the waters of the Word. There's power in the Word, friends. Like we said the other week, the anointed Word, it cleanses you. It brings you back into your right mind. It changes you. The power of transformation in the Word of God. Ah, friends, that's why once you repent, you're baptized in water, then you need to be washed in the water. So you need to be sanctified and purified. Amen. God's bringing you now into the house of Israel. Amen. And God wants to fulfill a purpose in you. Amen. So Rahab now, she's purified. She's cleansed her and her house. She's renounced her idolatry. She's taken all of her Beyonce. She's taken all of her, all of these, I don't even want to mention their names. But she's taken it, she's rid herself of all of these idols. Amen. She's taken all of her false religion. She doesn't watch T.D. Jakes anymore. She doesn't watch Benny Hinn anymore. She separates herself from all of her past things that have defiled her. Amen. You've got to separate yourself from people that have defiled you. Yes. Yes. People that continue to defile you. Amen. Because whenever the hope starts rising up inside of you, the devil knows. And he's going to send people across your path as well. Just as much as God sends people to you, the devil sends people to you as well. And you find there's people that just when you're starting to come out, be careful. There's going to be people that are going to hold you back. Amen. And sometimes you've got to be ruthless. Sometimes you've got to take a stand. Sometimes there's got to be a real separation so that God can really do the work that he wants to do. Amen. And that's what you've got to do. There's got to be a separation from all unbelief. And Rahab separates herself from all of unbelief. She renounces the things that have brought judgment upon Jericho. Amen. Yeah. She knows these very things that I was doing, they brought judgment upon Jericho. And friends, these things that many of us are getting involved in are the very things that are going to bring judgment upon this age. These Hollywood fashions, these Hollywood movies, these music people are listening to, the things people read, the things people listen to. It's so immoral in this age. Ah, friends, when the truth strikes your path, you find a pure stream of living water. You don't want to drink from those broken cisterns anymore, those polluted waters anymore. They don't quench your thirst anymore. But be careful, because the devil will try to hold you back. He'll try to hold you back and get you tangled up in the wilderness and ensnared in relationships and ensnared in other things. The best thing, run for your life. Amen. Do like Joseph when Potiphar's wife came and said, come and lie with me. He left his coat and he ran for his life. Amen. Sometimes you've got to do that because this is your soul. And when God is starting to deal with your soul, you need to respond to his working that he's doing inside of your life. And as we said on Friday, he's not going to show you any more than he's showing you at the moment. If you're not faithful to what he's showing you as the first step, he's not going to show you the second step. If he's telling you to repent and you haven't fully repented, he's not going to say anything more to you. But when you fully repent and then you baptize, then he's going to show you the next step. Then he'll show you the next step. And that's what he did with Rahab. She separated herself. She came God's provided way. Now, that still wasn't the end for Rahab. Because Rahab's womb was predestinated to bring forth redemption. She was to bring forth something in her age that was going to witness and declare Christ. And every one of us is ordained to the same thing in different ways. It can be in simplicity, it can be in power. It can be public, it can be private, whatever that it is. But every single one of us, spiritually speaking, our wombs have been ordained in this age to receive seed and to conceive and to bring forth something. Something which witnesses of Christ. She brought forth Boaz, a perfect type of Christ. And we are supposed to bring forth in our experience, bring forth in our witness, bring forth in our influence, something that declares Christ. And that's why he protects us like he did the wise men. Because the wise men had appropriate gifts. Amen. They were carrying gifts that were going to perfectly identify Christ. And that's why God watched over them in that long journey all the way down through the deserts and down the Euphrates and so forth. And all of the bandits and the murderers and the things they had to go through, God watched over them. Because they were bearing something that identified Christ in their day. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Testifying of Christ and in ministry to die for us. And friends, you and I were packing in our bosom as well something to declare Christ in this age. That's why you almost died, but you never died. That's why many of us will testify and say, when I was yet in sin and trespasses, there were times that I almost died. But you couldn't die because you were bearing something in your bosom that was so precious, which is a soul that is ordained to be quickened by him and to reflect Christ in your age. Amen. To show Christ in your age. And that's why he's watched over us, friends. Not because we're good people, not because we're upstanding citizens, not because we pay our taxes better than others and all those things, but because there was something inside of you that came from him and he watched over that thing. Amen. He watched over it right from the beginning to the end. And that's how she was ordained now to bring forth Boaz. Listen, another prophet says it in Why Little Bethlehem, 1958. He says, we see her when she was taken in as one of the Israelites. She fell in love with the man, which was a captain and a prince in Judah. That's why she's a perfect type of the believer in this age. Because our friends, we fell in love with the captain of the host of the Lord. Our souls have fallen in love with the prince of Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. She fell in love with him. He was the captain of the Israelite armies. It was a time of judgment. Yeah? He was a captain in the armies of the Lord, a type of the chief captain in our age, living in the time of judgment. His name was Salmon. And he was the captain. And she became in a great romance with this captain. Friends. That's what Satan wants to take away from us, friends. He doesn't want it to be a romance. He wants your love to wax dim because iniquity will abound. The love of many will wax cold. You've got to constantly fight that in this age. You've got to keep going back to him and say, oh Lord, reveal yourself afresh to my soul because I want my first love back. I don't want my love to dim. I don't want my love to cool because it's love that makes a difference. And she fell in love. And the prophet says he was a prince in Judah. And finally, she married him. There was a union. That was the whole purpose of this entire program. Wasn't just for her to fear God in her day. It wasn't enough. Not just for her to meet the Joshua Commission in her age. That was good, but that wasn't it. Not just for her to be purified so that she could be brought into the camp of Israel. That was good. That was part of the process. But the final part of the process, she had to become one. There had to be a union. There had to be a marriage between her and Solomon. And he says, and she and her beloved husband lived in Bethlehem. That's where she became fertile, when she went to the house of God's bread, which is the message of the hour. When she met the prince of Judah, when she got in union with him, and when he took her now to Bethlehem, the house of God's bread, our friends, that's when she was going to start really bringing forth what she was ordained to bring forth. But she couldn't bring it forth up to then. The prophet says, through her conversion and through her unfailing faith in God, it brought her from being a prostitute, from a prostitute house, to a beautiful home in Bethlehem. What a difference. That's the way it does for all of us. Amen. Our friends. From being down there in the pubs, down there in the nightclubs, down there scratching your records like people used to do, DJs and so forth. God takes you from the den of iniquity, takes you from the house of horror that you're in, and brings you into the Father's house. Amen. That's what grace did for her. And the prophet says, from a house of unbelief, immoral acts, everything, to a place, a position in Christ which is most beautiful. From the ridiculous to the sublime. That's the difference that it makes through our conversion. And did you see? She married the prince of the house of Judah. From the lowest of the lowest. That's who she was having union with before, yeah? The lowest of the lowest. God raises her there, and now she's with the highest of the highest. Ah, friends, when I look around here today, I see God's done the same for us. You think of your old friends that used to betray you and let you down and want to lead you into immorality. God takes you from them and gives you real friends. Gives you eternal friends, eternal relationships. People that care for your soul. People that will watch over you. People that will tell you the truth when you need to hear the truth. That's the grace of God. And the prophet says, we find out they had a lovely home in Bethlehem. Solomon had established it. It became a great place. Those fertile lands. Aren't you glad God has brought you to a fertile land? Ah, friends, the message of the hour, it's Boaz's field. It's a fertile field. You're never going to find such a fertile land as the message of the hour. For him to bring you from where you were and to bring you to the message, our friends, he's done the same to you. And the prophet says, you see how this Jewish prince taking his Gentile bride back up to Bethlehem for a settling down place, a place to live where there was plenty of bread. That's the testimony of a believer. So she had these different unions. She was united with the wrong people before. She had the wrong union. I'll just read it again from Invisible Union. When the prophet says, life is a sacred thing. Amen. He's speaking about the book of life. Amen. That every person, where God has breathed the breath of life, he says life is a sacred thing. Amen. To God. And it's recorded in a book. Because God is the author of life. Amen. So that life that God gave you, it's precious to God. Amen. It may be perverted as it is now, but he's written it in his book. Amen. He's written that life in the book of life. Our natural life here we have is just a perversion. It really should be the right life to begin with. Ah, friends, that's how we saw it on that weekend as well. We were trapped into this. We weren't supposed to be born in the union that we were. We weren't supposed to be born with a perverted life that we were. We weren't supposed to be born in this condition. That wasn't what it was from the beginning. It says, but it's perverted by the natural birth. The first life, or your first union, you were joined with at birth by nature, a natural act. It was a sex act. Yeah? You were born of a sex act between your mother and your father. And that was being born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And that's why you were born from that kind of a union. And you were born in a union. A natural human being associated, man and woman together, and you were born. That's associated with sin and death. How can you miss seeing the serpent seed? It's very interesting. The serpent seed. You know, Lucifer from the beginning, when he was in perfection still, before iniquity entered in, there came a certain time when he realized and he made a choice and he made a decision and he rebelled. And then iniquity was found in him. And when iniquity was found in him, his entire nature changed. When he fell, he became rebellious. He became stubborn. He became resistant to the kingdom of God. He became an adversary to all that is godly. When he fell from where he was, he became that. And Lucifer looked down in the Garden of Eden when he became Satan, when he became the devil, and he knew, if I can get them to fall, and he knew he was going to do it through the woman, he was going to do it through that act. He knew, if I can get them to fall, those that will be born of them will inherit the same nature as me. Because when I rebelled and I fell, I inherited this nature. So he knew if man would partake of that tree that he's not supposed to partake of, man would partake of the same nature that he has. That fallen nature, that satanic nature, that original nature. And the moment Eve sinned and then Adam willingly partook of that same sin, something changed in Adam. And as each of the generations was now born from that union now of a perverted life, uniting with a perverted life, that brought forth an even more perverted life. And each generation became more sinful. And that's why you can see how Cain wasn't from Adam. Initially, he received a certain nature which could stand in the face of God and defy God. And say, am I my brother's keeper? Imagine that. My, that's satanic. But look at today. Look at people. If you saw on that website, the Rapture Ready News, the atheist society, how they challenging God. Taking all these scriptures in the Bible to say, we don't believe in a God like this. God is cruel. God is mean and all these kind of things. Friends, they're just testifying of the nature that they've got. That satanic fallen nature that's inside of them. That'll confront God. That'll stand in the face of God and say, we don't need a God. Speak for yourself. You're not speaking for me. But you can see that fallen condition in man. It's natural. And that's how the prophet goes on to say. He says, now, it was nature associated with death. So the moment that wrong union came in Eden, the nature now became associated with death. Your first husband that had rule over you was your nature by natural birth. You love the world because you are of the world and part of the world. Your desires by nature to love the world that you're part of, because the whole world is fallen. And you're born in a fallen world, it's natural for you to love the things that are fallen. That's why you love that kind of music when you hear it. You love the sins of the flesh. You love the lusts of the eye. Yeah, you love those. It's just natural for us to love those kind of things because it's the nature that we've been born in. He says, that's the reason you have to be born again. Our friends, it's just so natural for us to sin. Nobody has to teach us to sin. Nobody had to teach you to be rebellious. No one had to teach you to be stubborn. Nobody had to teach you to do the things that you did. Amen. Yes, God put a conscience inside of you that the first few times you did some of those things, your heart would beat, your mouth would go dry, and you'd know that it's not right what you're doing. But there was no power inside of you to say no. And that's how the prophet says that first union, that first husband was that Adamic nature. That fallen, sinful nature, he had dominion over you. He had dominion over you. The prophet says, you have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. Now, people always come to that point and say, but how do I die to that first husband? How do I do that? How am I going to die to these sinful desires? You can't live with it. You can't just say, well, I'll divorce him. No, no writing of divorcement. He has to die. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him has to die. You have to be reunited again with another nature. And how is that going to happen if that other nature never passes your way? How can you be united with another nature if there's not a revelation of that nature to you? That's why you can never be born again unless He visits you. You can never be changed until He visits you. You can never. The prophet says in Saul's in prison, he says, that soul is what God is working on. If He can only get that nature that you have, that spirit, to agree with Him, then that nature dies. And the nature and love of the world dies, and the things of the world is dead. It's simple, friends, but it's powerful. He's got to reveal Himself to you. That's why you could be Saul breathing out threatening and slaughter on the way to Damascus Road. The letters from the high priest, you're going to go and continue to persecute the Christians. That's your nature. That's how you're born. You're just living the way that you were born. What's going to change this man into Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles? Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. When there's a revelation of another nature. Come into a soul that's predestinated, that's been laying there all that time. Amen. That revelation of Christ in his age changed him completely.
Amen.
He was never the same.
Amen.
He never was Saul again. He was now Paul. He wasn't Saul of Tarsus. It needs that revelation, friends. And that's, I said, the greatest thing we can do for anybody is create an atmosphere.
Amen.
So that he can reveal himself. So that he can come down and speak to the souls of people and reveal himself. That's the only way people can be delivered.
Amen.
It's not by telling people this, that. We must do that. We still have to tell, like the prophet says, tell your children, Amen. Don't do this. This is wrong. You have to chastise your children. We have to do those kind of things. But there's no redemption in that.
Amen.
There's no redemption in that kind of punishment. It's necessary to keep things within certain boundaries. But redemption is only in Christ.
Amen.
Redemption's only in His grace.
Amen.
When He reveals Himself to somebody.
Amen.
It's the only way. And that's what the prophet's saying. He says, now when you were separated from that union by spiritual death, your natural desire is to cut your hair. It's natural for girls to want to cut their hair. That's the way they're born. That's the first nature that you're born with. Your natural desire is to wear shorts and paint your face. It's natural. You can't expect someone born of a polluted fountain, yeah, not to have polluted desires, not to thirst for polluted things. It's natural. Your natural desire is to be an intellectual smart man, knowing something better than the other. And you know the greatest trick the devil does? He cloaks it in religion. Like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he cloaks it in religion. You say, then it's all religious, but it's the same old satanic fallen nature.
Amen.
Which you've just put fig leaves over it, but behind the veil, it's the same sinful nature.
Amen.
The same proud, arrogant nature.
Amen.
That doesn't want to admit that it needs God, that it needs His grace, that it needs redemption.
Amen.
And that's what man does. He makes all these religions, and then you take pilgrimage and you go to Mecca, and you take pilgrimage and you go to the Ganges River, dip yourself in the river to be purified. There's nothing of redemption in any of those things. The people are sincere, but there's only redemption in Christ in your day. The revelation of Christ in your day. When somebody can see a reflection of Christ in you, that you can reflect Christ in your age, that can bring somebody to life. Remember Ruth. Ruth was in the wrong union. She married a man, Mahlon. Mahlon means sickness. That was her first husband. Her first husband was just sickness. And her first husband, what did he do? He was already backslidden down there out of the land of promise. He was living in Moab. He wasn't supposed to be there. But Mahlon had no power or strength in himself to take his family back. He was weak. He didn't have it in him. She was trapped in this union with this man. And as long as she was in this union with Mahlon, yeah, who was the seed of Abimelech, the man who had taken them out of the promise, the man who had taken them from the promised land and brought them because of the famine that was in the land down into Moab, as long as she was still in a union with this man, there was no redemption for her. She was going to stay in that fallen condition. But then Mahlon died. And as soon as Mahlon died, there was hope. Something was going to take place. And there was sufficient reflection of Christ in Naomi to awaken something in the soul of Ruth. Imagine, she wasn't in a right position, Naomi, but she was living a certain kind of a life. She had a certain kind of a faith. And that life that Naomi lived was sufficient to bring forth Ruth deciding. Ruth deciding to say, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you buried, I'll be buried. Nothing but death will separate us. Our friends, that just shows the power of Christ in you. Just revealing himself even in that simple way. That people will see there's something different here. And if they're ordained to life, something starts to come to life. It's not yet finished. Because she's still down there in Moab. So Ruth has to make her own decision. When she sees the light in her age, when it strikes her path, God predestinates the truth to pass her way. Amen. And then she dies, the old man dies. She crosses the Jordan, death to self. Amen. Then God leads her to Bethlehem, leads her to Boaz's field. The process isn't yet finished. Boaz comes and reveals himself in a measure, but it's not yet the full revelation. Amen. Therefore, Ruth, her womb, it's been barren all these years. Is that not the most powerful thing? She never brought forth with Mahlon. Yet she's predestined to bring forth redemption in her day. So she meets now Boaz. But it takes the real full revelation of Boaz. When she goes and lays at his feet. Mark the place that he lays himself down. The prophet says that's Calvary. Go and lay at his feet in humility and say to him, cast thy skirt over me. That's union. You wanted to get married in union with someone. Then when he said, blessed art thou of the Lord, my daughter, and they entered into union, then what happens? She conceived. Amen. She conceived. And she brought forth the seed that she was supposed to bring forth in her age. Amen. But you just really see the process in the lives of people. But in every single one of these instances, something had to die. Amen. Something had to die. You had to separate from something to be united with something else. You can't get yourself caught in the middle. That's what Israel tried to do when they were down there in the wilderness. They came out, but they didn't go in. And they found themselves in the wilderness, in the lust of the flesh, and all the different things that Satan threw at them. They perished, so many of them, in the wilderness. Ah, friends, the prophet says, don't stop short. Don't stop short when he starts dealing with your soul. You push on until you find him. Look at these different wombs as we just come to a thought which would bring to a close. Look at these different wombs that you find inside of the Bible that were ordained but never brought forth at first. You think of Hannah. Hannah's womb was ordained to bring forth. Hannah was actually in the right union. She was married to her husband, Abimelech, whatever his name was. He was a good man, Elimelech. He was a very good man. But she hadn't yet brought forth what she was supposed to bring forth. And every year she'd come up to the feast and there was this burden. There was a deep inside of her that she could feel. I haven't yet achieved the purpose to which I was born. She could feel it inside of herself. She was happy coming to the appointed feasts. She was happy to come and offer the appointed offering. But she knew there's something more. There's something inside of me that desires to express itself. And she came year after year until one year, like I say, you've got to take advantage when the season is there. Amen. She came up to the feast that year. It was now God's appointed season. It was the feast. God's appointed time for her. And there was something that passed away. She didn't even want to eat. She didn't want to get involved in all the chat and the things the prophet said. She didn't want to get involved in all the gossip and all the things taking place. But she came to the house of God. She came to God's provided place of worship. Amen. She came to the place that he had appointed, chosen to place his name. Amen. And that year she knew there's something different. Amen. But she had to follow that desire through. Amen. It wasn't just going to take care of itself. Amen. There was something inside of her. Her womb was longing to bear fruit. Her womb was longing to be fruitful. But she had to come to the right place. And then she got into prayer. Amen. And as she starts to pray and seek the Lord, and then Eli saw her and says, oh, what are you doing here, you drunken woman? She says, no, I'm a woman with bitterness of soul. Amen. Our Our friend, she wasn't satisfied with her condition. She had much favor. Her husband loved her. She was in union with the right man. She was in the camp of the children of Israel. There was so much right inside of her life. But there was still something missing. And it was a personal something. So she took it personally to the right place in prayer. And she stayed there in prayer. Though she met opposition and whatever that it was. And it says, and she was in bitterness of soul. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Amen. Now friends, the powerful thing here is, God needs a man.
Amen.
God desires a prophet.
Amen.
God desires a Nazarite.
Amen.
And she desires a man.
Amen.
She desires a Nazarite as well.
Amen.
Our friends, you've got an intersection of two things here. You've got God having a desire at a certain time. And she's the one to bring forth what God is desiring at that time. But she has to come to the time she desires the same thing.
Amen.
That she's more interested in that than anything else.
Amen.
She's got to come to that stage to say, but Lord, please, I can't take it anymore. I don't want to continue like this anymore. And she took her to the house of prayer.
Amen.
She took her to the place where the presence of God was veiled within the veil. And as she started to pray, something started to move. And God was now going to give her encouragement. And what happened? The anointing comes upon Eli. At first he comes to correct her. And then it says, and she says, no, I'm a woman of bitterness of soul. It says she vowed a vow. And he said, if you will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give to your handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord. Friends. The Lord needed somebody, and he has someone who's saying, Lord, if you give me someone, I'll give him to you. Ah, friends, it's wonderful when you can break into a certain place when God has a desire and something moves upon you and you fulfill God's desire. You fulfill the very need at that time. I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hey, friends, where did you get that from? She's broken into a realm of prophecy.
Amen.
She's broken into a certain channel of prayer. It's not just a normal prayer now. She's broken into this channel of the will of God. Broken into this channel of redemption in her prayer. And what she's bringing before the throne of God is exactly the will of God. And the Bible says if you ask him anything according to his will, he's going to give it to us.
Amen.
And that's what she did. So she had a burden and a desire which matched with Jehovah's burden and desire. Oh, something was going to come forth. And then just to prove it, a token and an evidence of God's favor to her, the Spirit comes upon Eli. And Eli says to her, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him.
Amen.
He gets into that realm. It's prophecy as well.
Amen.
It's like he's saying, the God of Israel will grant you your desire.
Amen.
He like manages to enter in. Something quickens inside of himself and he feels for her need. And then something speaks to him and says, bless her, she's going to receive it. Ah, oh, friends, that's a blessed thing. If you and I can come today before Jehovah's high priest, yeah? And we can offer our prayer and he can be moved in our behalf and he can bless us. Our friends, we're going to get the very thing that we're desiring before the Lord. But it so much depends on prayer. So much depends on commitment, separation. That there comes a time where you desire it more than anything else. The Lord said, when you seek me with all your heart, then I will be found of you. That's how the prophet preaches, the token in the morning and desperation in the evening, because there's a balance there. The token, it's rest, it's what he does for you. Desperation is what you do for him. Desperation is the attitude you need to get in sometimes when you see the lateness of the hour. And you see, but I'm not matching up with what I'm supposed to match up to. Is the blood on the door? The prophet said, it was a time of desperation down there in Egypt. She really did get into desperation. So Hannah's a real type as well. Just like Rahab, she was ordained and she brought forth. What about Sarah? Sarah made a mistake. You know what her mistake was? She thought she could use a borrowed womb to bring forth the promise in her day. It doesn't work. What God's ordained of you, only you can bring forth. You can't put it onto somebody else and say, okay, hey God, you go and bring forth the promise. No, your womb will never be satisfied if you don't bring forth. And that's why even when she says to Hagar, okay, you come and bring forth on my knees, the way that they would do it. They would take the maidservant, the husband would go and she would conceive with the husband, the maidservant. Then she would come and when she's about to deliver, they would take the maidservant and put it on like on Sarah's knees. And then when she was bringing forth and going through the labor pains, Sarah was also like going through the same sort of a thing. And then the child that would be born wouldn't be named after the maidservant, it would be named after the mistress. But friends, there's nothing like it in the spiritual realm. You'll never be satisfied trying to bring forth something of somebody else's. You'll never be satisfied trying to do what somebody else is ordained to do. There's something that each and every one of us is called to bring forth. And you'll only be satisfied when you bring that forth. And that's what she had to quickly learn. Because here Ishmael is born, but it doesn't satisfy her. She's still got this longing inside. There's still a deep inside of her. There's still something. She's in union with the right man. She's in the right place, right position. But you know what it needed? It just needed one thing. It needed the Son of Man to pass away. Amen. That's what it needed. It just needed Genesis 18 when the Son of Man passed away. And he revealed himself to her. And he called her by name. And says, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" Ah, friends, that made all the difference. By faith she conceived, the Bible said. But something had to come and quicken that faith. Ah, friends, may we seek for that. May we say, "Lord, today and in these meetings coming up ahead, let the Son of Man pass our way. Let the Son of Man come and speak personally to us. Do something inside of our faith that we also may conceive and bring forth what we're supposed to conceive." That's a holy desire, friends, I do believe. In the message, "It is I," the prophet says, listen to that. When Elohim came in flesh and ate with Abraham and discerned the thoughts of Sarah's heart. Listen to that. Her name wasn't actually Sarah, Sarai, first. Then she was called Sarah because she was a princess. He called her by her princess name. When Elohim came, he didn't call her Sarai, the old barren name. He called her her princess name. And friends, there's a name in the book which is going to be expressed as well, which is your real name. And it's going to come down. He's not going to be Rahab the harlot anymore. There's going to be another name that's going to be expressed when he calls your princess name, when he calls your royal name. And that's what he did to them. Our friends, all of those people, we won't get into anymore, but Abigail was the same. We know it. She was in union with the wrong man. We saw it again on Easter. And she realized that. She was a very spiritual woman. But you notice a very interesting thing in that story. When Abigail, when David was a type of Christ, the rejected king, he was coming down at that time. He had been so good to Nabal. The man's name was Fool. This woman was in union with a fool, a foolish man. And you know why he was a fool? Because he never recognized God in his day. When David now sent the messengers to him to say, "Please, your son David is asking of you for some help. We looked after all of your shepherds during the time of when they're out in the pastures. Now that your time of good favor has come, the shearing time, please give a little into the hand of your son David." And then the shepherds came and testified to Nabal of the goodness of this man. Of this man's testimony, of this man's reputation. Said, "While we were with him and his men, we never lost anything. There were a hedge of protection around us." But just to show you that if somebody doesn't have the seed there, even the revelation of Christ in your day does nothing for you. That's why these people reject the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's Nabal. It's foolishness. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there's no God. But that same testimony, when he now says, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse?" Friends, that arrogant attitude. When those young men realized that judgment was upon their house, they quickly went to Abigail. And they gave the same testimony to Abigail. The same revelation to Abigail. "When we were with this man David, he looked after us," and so forth. And what a difference it made to her, because she was ordained to it. Something came to life inside of her. And then she quickly gets the thing. She goes and falls at the feet of David. She makes intercession. Amen. Friends, it's a powerful scripture. Let's read that one before we close. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 25. And just look, when she comes to David, the same visitation of David, the rejected king. If there's not a seed inside of there, it's not going to do you any good. It's just going to bring judgment upon you. But if God has ordained a seed inside of her, she was ordained to have union with David in that age. It does something for her. 1 Samuel chapter 25. I think it's verse 28. 1 Samuel 25 verse 38. Verse 28, is that right? Yeah, 28. This is when she comes to David. But let's read from 27. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I love the way she addresses him. What's Nabal said? Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Many people are rebelling and running away from their masters at this time. Yeah, that's what people think of Christ in this day. Look at the evil things that people say about Christ.
Amen.
But the moment that revelation strikes her, she's calling him my Lord. And where she found, she's at his feet. And she's making intercession.
Amen.
I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will surely make my Lord a sure house.
Amen.
Oh, friends. How does she know this? She's broken into a certain place, friends.
Amen.
She's not just Abigail, the wife of Nabal now. She's moved into another place. Something started to come to life. She's starting to prophesy. She's starting to enter into the room. I know that the Lord will make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. And evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Friends, that's the kind of approach. Something's quickened her. Verse 29. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee. That's King Saul, her king. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God.
Amen.
And the souls of thine enemies, them shall be he sling out as from the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee.
Amen.
Amen.
When the testimony, she went and testified of what she had done and who David was, his heart became like a stone in him.
Amen.
And that's why the prophet says, you can't change yourself.
Amen.
But it says, if he can get your nature, your life, if you get that to agree with his nature,
amen,
then your nature is going to die.
Amen.
That old nature is going to die. That old union is going to pass away. And you're going to go through a process and come into a union with him. And that's when you're going to bring forth. And that's why now, as soon as David now hears that he's dead, he calls and he takes her to wife. And you wish he had have done that with Bathsheba. Because he waited at least in this stage for the man to die. Let's just finish off with what the prophet says a little bit. He says, well, in invisible union once again. He says, the anointed word of God being vindicated before any man that's born to be a son of God with a predestined germ in him for this hour, he'll see God's message as sure as there's a God in heaven. And that's how we were speaking even at the meeting the other day, saying, we don't have to advertise the message like the denominations advertise the message, because we're not seeking the same market as them. We're not trying to persuade people to come. We're not trying to persuade people to join. All you're trying to do is reflect the message of the hour, because the message of the hour will do the job. You just reflect the truth and all that are ordained unto life. God has a way of bringing it to them, and it does something to them. It'll bring to life something in the soul of a person. Even just one tract of the message of the hour. How many testimonies do you hear that? Someone finding one page of a message book.
Amen.
Those testimonies, someone going to the toilet in Africa and somebody's used a message book as toilet paper. And someone goes and sits down in the toilet and takes the toilet paper and it's a page from a message book.
Amen.
And somebody comes to the message like that.
Amen.
Friends, that's the power of the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't need any great something.
Amen.
Our friends, it just needs something to fall into the hands of the predestinated.
Amen.
The predestinated to come in contact with that light of the age, that truth, It's going to bring something to life, as sure as the world. The prophet says, amen, here we are. The real, genuine eagles here. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they'll not follow. Why? It was put in there by predestination. And the Bible says, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. Amen. That's what it is, friends. We've tried it. We've tried to go down that path of persuading people and all those different... It doesn't work. It's just a waste of labor. God knows where his children are. All you've got to do is yield yourself and say, Lord, let me be an instrument. Let me be a vessel. And somehow God will use you and use the instrumentality he's given you to reach out to those people. That's all that's needed. The prophet says, amen. Why? It was put there. You were in God before the foundation of the world. You only manifested in this day for his honor and his glory. How can you do it? Yes. You are a part of the word by predestination. And friends, every part of the word recognizes the other part of the word. If you are part of the word, if your soul is ordained unto eternal life, if your soul came from God, you're going to recognize the word of God in your day. Now, sometimes they say you spend 80% of your time or with the 20% of the people that don't end up believing anyhow. You know, we try to persuade people. And we try to, somebody doesn't want to come anymore. And it's nothing wrong going and following. You must follow people up. But you promise them this and you promise them that. And friends, in the end, it just doesn't work. But a genuine son and daughter of God, they may get knocked down, disoriented along the way. But there's something in them that is predestined unto eternal life. There's something inside of them that's not going to say no. There's something of them that's not going to be satisfied until it comes to the fullness of the blessing. Because God has ordained and appointed it like that. Let's finish with this one. When he speaks about the power of life in Ephesian church age. He says, when the sun begins to shine down through the fog and the mist of night, no matter where the seed is, it'll live. Because all botany life lives by the sun. We know that. You can pour concrete right across a piece of grass. And next spring, where's the thickest of the grass? Right at the end of the concrete. Why? It's that life beneath there. You can't hide real life. You can't. Real life will express itself. It just needs the light. That's all that it needs. And no matter where it is, it could be in a harlot, it could be in legion in the tombs, it could be in any manner of places. But all it needs is the Son of Man to pass by. That's all that it needs. And something starts in there. When that life starts to express itself, it's not going to say no. No matter it's concrete on top there, no matter the obstacles, no matter the obstructions, no matter what's standing between it and where it's trying to get to, where it's ordained to get to, it's not going to take no for an answer. It's going to keep pushing on. You can't hide real life. That little life, as soon as it knows the suns are bathing through there, it will worm its way for half a city block almost, getting around under that concrete till it sticks its head right up into the air and goes to praising God. It was ordained unto that. It was ordained. And when it can sense the light, when it can sense that radiation, when it can sense those life-giving resources or nearby, then it needs to get to those things. Ah, friends, you're not going to hold it back. Amen. You can't hold back a message, believer. Amen. Your whole family will turn against you. You'll still keep going on. Amen. Your wife will leave you. You still keep going on. Amen. Yeah, how many times did you see the prophet speaks of Brother Ben Bryant and people like that? And his wife fought against him, and he just kept going on. You can't hold back life, friends. Amen. When somebody's ordained to something, when that life struck Rahab, you're not going to hold her back anymore. And you know the interesting thing? She had the token in her house all along and she didn't know. She had that scarlet thread. It just needed the light to come and show her how to apply that token. That's all that it needed. And then when judgment struck, everything collapsed, she walked out on the ashes of the wicked. Just like the prophecy says. The prophet says, you can't hide life. That's right. Life. When you're born again, you can't hide it. Something's got to cry out when you've got life. That's how you'll find Rebecca. Although she was married to the right man, but she hadn't conceived. What did Rebecca say? Give me children or I die. Ah, friends. And God so respected that he put it in his word. that crying out from within, that something that says, I'm not satisfied with this. Don't satisfy me with just good words. There's something more than this.
Amen.
Don't you feel it yourself, saints? Don't you feel it when you pray? There's something inside of your soul. There's far more. There's far greater that He has in store. And that life that's inside of you, that soul that's inside of you, if you just give it the opportunity to express itself, like Brother Lubanza said, communing with your soul, you'll find it's crying out for something, like Rebecca when she said, give me children or I die. And then her husband looked at her and said, don't be foolish. You're crying out to the wrong husband. Don't cry to me. Go and speak to God. And then finally, when she found the right channel to take that petition, and she was burdened before the Lord, it says the Lord hearkened unto her. And who did she bring forth? Perfection. Joseph. Our friends. That's what it is. We ordained unto something, friends. It doesn't matter the disappointments. Move on. It doesn't matter the discouragements. Move on. Don't listen to the outward man. He's going to hold you back. He's going to try to keep you down there and mob as long as you can if you're going to listen to him. What you got to listen to the inside man. Listen to the real life that's inside of you. And keep pressing on because you ordained unto it. And Rahab, she kept going on despite whatever that it was. And look where she ended up. And each and every one of these types of you and types of me, they brought forth Christ in their age. They brought forth the fullness of the promise. And friends, they would never have been satisfied apart from that. And even you find when she brings forth Joseph, she's still not satisfied. She says, may the Lord help me to bring forth more, whatever the words were. Because there was still a Benjamin that needed to come forth at that time. And then when Benjamin came forth, then she could rest. And friends, let's not be at rest. Spiritually speaking, let's be seeking His face. That life that's inside of you, some brothers are wanting to give out tracts and testify. Do it. Let the life express itself. If there's a burden and a desire, go and do it. I was speaking to Brother Lubanzi yesterday. He was saying he met a certain South African pastor there in Galway and he's testifying to him. Friends, this life, somebody's seeking for life. And God sends you down the path. And those two paths cross. When the two omnipotents meet, something miraculous is going to take place. Something's going to come forth, friends. Let's just be yielded to Him in prayer. Let's come on Wednesday for prayer. Let's pray for the meetings coming up ahead. Let's seek the grace of God that God may minister an entrance to us into a deeper realm, into another place that you've never been before. Don't you desire it, friends? I desire that. To go deeper, to go further, to know Him closer, for Him to manifest Himself in a more real and a greater way. But friends, it's got to be something inside of us that seeks that. Sometimes you've got to be like Hannah coming to the tabernacle at the hour of prayer. When the incense is being offered and the intercession is going up before the throne of God to take advantage of the seasons and the times and the appointed feasts that God has given. But let's come and seek His face and may the Lord grant us grace and blessing in these meetings that come before. And if God is dealing with you in your life, don't get distracted. What is He dealing with you now? Go and do it. Respond. Do what He's telling you to do and see how God will respond to you the next turn. Whatever it is that He's speaking to you, go and do it. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of prayer, friends, today to seek the grace of God. He's already shown us much grace, much mercy, but there's more land yet to be possessed. There's more of an inheritance for us.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. My Lord and Savior. holy, my Lord. Do not I let me at thy throne of mercy, at thy throne of mercy, Jesus, find a sweet sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, in deep contrition, my Lord.
There was a man in the tombs. His name was Legion. The man was demon possessed. He wasn't even in his right mind. But he had a soul inside of him. And that soul was predestined unto life. And that soul was crying out for redemption. And Jesus got in a boat at the end of a busy day of preaching and praying for the sick. So tired. Laying in the back of the boat, going across a stormy sea to get to the other side. Because one soul was crying out. Our friends, that gives me confidence to know today that if your soul is crying out, if your soul is needing something, He's here now to meet your need. And all you've got to do, like the song says, is say, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry.
Amen.
While on others thou art call. Hallelujah. Do not pass me by.
Amen.
And I don't know of anybody I've ever heard of who's ever been disappointed when they prayed that kind of a way. When there's a cry in the soul, a desire to know Him, and He's drawing near. Let's sing that last verse and the chorus once again. Let's come to time of prayer. Your need is your need. We can pray with you, but the best thing you can do for yourself, you cry out to Him. You speak to Him in prayer. You come unto Him as Bartimaeus. O thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Bible says Jesus stood still. You can make Him stand still. Let's sing and let's come to a time of prayer.
Thou the spring of all my comfort,
oh my comfort, Lord.
Lord, we come back, Father, to where we are. Father, it takes that new birth to initiate all things. Again, Lord, serve God. Remembering our brother Max Jr., Lord, bless him that side, Lord. Father, even Lord, see as well. You bless him, Lord. Father, Lord God, you keep them about your business, Lord, serve you. How we pray, oh God, for change of weather, Lord. It's cold. Lord, we desire the sun to shine again, Lord, serve you, God. Grant us grace, Lord, Savior God, and keep us, O God, that we, Lord, Savior, always be careful to give Thee the glory, Lord, and the praise, and oh, Father, that Thou would, Lord, Savior, deserve us, O God. We ask now for Your grace and Your mercy. Always bless our meetings this week.
Jesus, pray.
Father, we thank Thee for Your goodness in Your word this day. Father, we approach Thee in soberness, Lord. Father, thinking of Friday's word, Father, we desire to be part and parcel of the vision, knowing indeed, Lord, that, Lord, if we resist, and Lord, Father, we delay, Father, oh God, you would get us, Lord, Father, straightened until, Lord, Father, we are lined up. Grant us grace, Lord, Father, especially this one of the new birth, oh God. Father, Lord God, we cannot, Lord, Savior, Father, fulfill the requirements that are required of us, Lord, until, Lord, Savior, Father, that old nature is dead. Father, the old man is died, Lord, and we've put on, Lord, Savior, that new man, that immortality, Lord, Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask your grace upon this day, knowing indeed, Lord, for us to do all these things, O God, that is required of us, Lord. We cannot, Lord, as been ministered by our own strength or by our own power. Lord, it's by your spirit, Lord, Savior God.
Yes,
how we desire, Father, to surrender fully unto thee, O God.
Yes, Lord.
That you, Lord, Savior, would have the preeminence, Lord, in Lord, Savior, our members, O God. Lord,
Amen.
That, Lord, Savior, we'd be a church that is holy, Lord, submitted and surrendered, Lord, to the living God. Lord,
Amen.
Then, Lord, Savior, Father, that, Lord, Savior, be that perfect union, one between another. Lord, the service would become a blessed place. Father,
yes.
Your house would become a blessed place. Then, Lord, we'd be like, Lord, Savior, the early church, back, Lord, Father, in the book of Acts, Lord. Father, Lord, when they, Lord, Savior, Father, were in thine house, Lord. Father, they had all things in common, Lord. Father, they had that genuine love of Christ, Lord. Father, we ask for your grace upon this day. Help us, Lord, that may we take a careful examination amidst our lives, Lord. Lord, and search deep, Lord, and see where we are lacking, oh God. Amen. That we'd line up, Lord, with this mirror of the word that's been placed before us upon this day. For Lord, Father, your word has been spoken. That is what you desire for us upon this day. We'd not desire, Lord Savior, to be left behind, Lord Savior, but we desire to keep pace, Lord Savior, with this word at this time, Lord Savior God. That Lord, when Lord Savior, your visiting ministers would come, Father, they'd find us, Lord, on the firing line, Lord, in the front line, Lord Savior.
Amen.
Father, searching out, Lord, those souls, Lord, even amidst this land, Lord Savior God.
Hallelujah.
Father, who thought, Lord, Father, there was, Lord, a pastor there, Lord Savior, in Galway, Lord.
Hallelujah.
But it took a brother to come all the way from Amen. South Africa, Lord Savior. Lord,
Hallelujah.
And Lord, you placed the burden amidst his heart, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, and look, Lord, what you have done, Lord Savior.
Hallelujah.
Out of nothing, Lord Savior God. Father, give us grace, Lord.
Please,
let me, Lord Savior, be a people that are constantly, Lord Savior, about your business, Lord. Constantly, Lord, in your presence, Lord. Constantly. Be waiting, Lord, for your leading, Lord Savior God, just like Philip, Lord Savior God.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, waiting for you just to say, Lord Savior God, Father, grant us grace, Lord Savior God. And when we come, Lord Savior, let us not come, Lord, Father, to charge ourselves up on Wednesday, but let it be, Lord Savior, even as of now, we'd, Lord, remember to keep this, Lord, even a holy day, Lord Savior God.
Hallelujah.
Not to feed ourselves, Lord, Father, in the service after service, Lord Savior God. We'd carefully ponder these things that you've placed upon our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, no one can say, Father, oh God, we're okay. We don't need this word. Father, we need it more than ever, Lord Savior God. We all need that new birth, Lord. We need that change of nature, Lord Savior. Father, oh God, Lord Savior, grant us grace, Lord. Grant us mercy, Lord Savior God. That, Lord, we strive, Lord, for the things constantly, Lord, ministered amidst us, Lord Savior God. That, Lord, Father, Lord Savior, when we meet again, Lord, Father, we'd be charged up, Lord Savior God. Bless the pastor, as it, Lord Savior. Go on this journey to Poland.
Please, Lord.
Bless him with the saints, Lord. Prosper, Lord, that journey. You know the needs that would be there. You know the people that they'd be ministering to, Lord Savior. Father, we won't be there, but we'd be one with them in prayer. Father, we'd, Lord Savior, be committing them before thee, Lord Savior God. And let that be a prosperous journey, Lord Savior.
And
when they come back, Lord Savior, Lord, to testify, may they testify, Father, even of thine goodness, thine, Lord Savior, holiness, Lord, how you would have led them, Lord Savior. Bless and prosper them, Lord. And the ministers that would visit us, Lord. Father, in weeks ahead, we look, Lord Savior, with great expectation, with great excitement, Lord. Knowing indeed, Lord, you'd never send to us what we don't need. You
Amen.
Have sent to us our exact needs, Lord Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Father, send unto us, Lord, as we are people constantly need, Lord Savior.
Hallelujah.
Father, desiring, Lord, a word that would open up, Lord, our spiritual eyes, Lord, Amen. That would quicken us, Lord Savior, that we'd be able to keep pace, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, with this life, Lord. Father,
Amen.
Especially in this day of darkness, Lord,
Amen.
As we approach, Lord Savior, with, Lord Savior, the ends of the earth, Lord Savior God.
Amen.
Bless your people. Touch them constantly, Lord Savior God, and help us, Lord, that we'd always be amidst thine house, Lord.
Amen.
Father, seeking, Lord Savior, what thou would have of us, Lord Savior God.
Please, Lord.
Bless us as we part. Bless, Lord Savior, all that has been said. Let, Lord Savior, thine word be kept in our hearts, Lord Savior.
Amen.
Father, Lord, that, Lord Savior, when we are asleep, Lord, when we are in meditation, Lord Savior,
yes, Lord.
Those things would constantly, Lord, Father, come, Lord, as, Lord Savior, a reminder of what manner of people we ought to be, Lord Savior God, that even our thoughts, Lord Savior, oh God, would just be pure, Lord, and righteous, Lord Savior God. Bless this word ministered, Lord, that
yes,
in due
Lord.
Season may it bring forth, Father, fruit, Lord Savior.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Bless, Lord Savior, Father, the baptism that we didn't have, Lord,
Lord.
Trusting, Lord, indeed, Lord, that when it does happen, Lord,
Amen.
It would be the perfect time, Lord.
Amen.
All the pieces would be in place, even
Lord.
In the vision, Lord, Savior God.
Hallelujah.
We ask your grace now. We ask your mercy, Lord, Savior God. Grant us grace and patience always, Lord, for thee, Lord. Guide us as we part. Keep us along those roads. You know,
Amen.
Lord, Savior, the carnage that's
yes.
out there. You know, the wickedness that's out there. Keep us, Lord, as we travel. Take nothing for granted. We now know, Lord, Savior, that you are constantly with us, Lord. Bless us as many would travel long distances, Lord.
Amen.
Father, you protect us, Lord. Let thine angel constantly, Lord,
Be with us, Lord, Son of God. And even as the prophet said, Lord, when he spoke of him, he didn't know his name, Lord Savior, but he spoke of Lord Savior, Lord, someone that constantly led him, Lord. And Amen. We believe that angel has been with us, Lord, in the Friday service, has been with us in this day's service, Lord, Son of God. Let him part with us now. Keep us, guide us, Lord. Provide all our needs as we have in Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you, saints. Let's sing one song as we dismiss. Let's not talk in the house of the Lord. There's plenty of room outside, upstairs, cry room. Let's keep the sanctuary for its intended purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
I have heard of Christians long ago. You were brought before the tyrant's throne. They were told. Would renounce the name of Christ, but one by one they chose to die for the Son of God. They would not deny the great and changing choir. I can almost hear voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lord. With all my strength, with all I am, I will say to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the years have come, oh, and the years have gone, but the course of Jesus still goes on. Now the time has come, oh, to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross, and one by one, let's live our lives for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds, oh, on that final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will say to honor His command, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Well, let's play.